Good. Excited to play. Well, coach.
How would you characterize how the week has gone for you so far?
Everybody's putting everything they got into it. It's a one-game season. Nothing to save it for, so everybody's trying as hard as they can.
Do you get a sense, Bill, as to how the team will perform based on what happens in practice, or is there always that element of unknown?
Yeah, I think each game's its own game. How are they practicing? I mean, I don't know.
Bill, several players talked yesterday about the quizzes that they get perennially during the week. How important or how much greater a role does mental preparation take when it is a one-game season?
Yeah, it's important every week. We stress it every week, so stress it this week just like we stress it every other week.
When you're preparing for a game like this, and just kind of going back to ask a couple questions, do you want or do you prefer everybody to look sort of the way you see them during the regular season, in the sense that you don't want them to change, you kind of want stability in terms of preparation, or do you want the urgency to increase because the stakes are a whole lot higher?
Well, I think both of those, it's actually a combination of both of them. Yes. Yeah, I mean, we got a good football team. We won a lot of games. We must be doing something right, so we want to keep doing that at the same time. Each game you play at this time of year is more important. We've been saying that for the last month, so or month and a half, whatever it's been. So as they ramp up, it's a shorter, you know, we're closer and closer to the finish line. It's a one-week season right now, so there's nothing to save it for. But everything you got into it, so there's definitely more urgency. But, you know, I don't think you want to get too far away from doing the things that you've been successful doing. So it's a little bit of balance there.
Offensively, when you're looking at press coverage, I'm wondering how you guys as a staff view Josh or Chad, whoever's working with the receivers, how you guys talk to them about defeating press coverage, because it seems like there's got to be kind of maybe a balance between getting into a route the way you planned and, you know, kind of banging your head up against the wall, so to speak. So I'm wondering how you kind of find that.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a long answer, but some of the things you need to think about are who's the receiver and who's the defender, and they're not all the same. So different players would use different techniques. They had different body types, different skill sets, and so forth. On your team that you're trying to release, and you're up against different players on the other side of the ball. Some guys are longer, some guys are faster, some guys are stronger, some guys want to jam you, some guys really don't. They just want to get in position off the line of scrimmage. And, you know, it's more of a position, I'd say more it's a struggle for position than it is, you know, trying to like physically, you know, knock the guy down or something like that. So I think all those things come into play. And then, of course, you know, what route are we talking about? It's the difference between running a, you know, a deep vertical route and running a intermediate route, or running a some type of crossing route or something like that that doesn't really, you know, I don't think press coverage is that big of an advantage on. I mean, you know, it's because you're not trying to go through the defender. You're trying to, you know, get on one side or the other and trying to create leverage. What's the receiver split? What's the, you know, where's his help? Is it half help? Is it middle of the field help? So, you know, it's a long, much longer discussion than, oh, it's press coverage. It's, you know, all the other things involved too. And that's something that we talk a lot about, and the quarterbacks are also have to be aware of that. But it can change the timing of the route. So that's, you know, then it gets into the whole timing element. So a 16-yard route on air and a 16 route against competitive press coverage, it's not the same timing. It's just not. It's either you hold the ball longer, or that 16 route becomes a 12-yard route, or it becomes a timing issue. Depending on the jam, too. Now, sometimes guys get up there and they aren't able to jam the receivers, or they miss them, or so it's, you know, there's a lot of variables there. And they all come into play. That's where timing and execution is so critical.
Bill, with that in mind, what kind of impact has Chuck as a head coach brought into that secondary? I mean, obviously he had a reputation with Baltimore for overhauling their secondary and really revamping it. Have you seen a lot of that with Indy in their secondary?
I mean, I'd say pretty much do what they do. You know, they have a variety of things in their scheme. They do all of them. They play some press coverage. They play off coverage. They play single high. They play split safety. They pressure. They pressure quite a bit. Sometimes pressure man, pressure zone. So, you know, they have a variety of things, and they do that to keep you off balance. It's not all one. You're not going to get all one coverage or one technique or all one anything.
Is it similar to what he did when he was with Baltimore, or is it different personnel?
Oh, yeah, no, there's certainly a, yeah. No, I'd say there's definitely a, foundation there that there's carry over to.
Bill, to that point, can you just talk about the progression that the Colts have had in the postseason since Pagano's been the head coach over there? I mean, how difficult is that to accomplish?
I mean, I don't know. Right now, none of that really matters to me, so I don't really care what somebody did last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. I don't really care. We're just trying to get ready for this game, that's all. It's a one-game season, so whatever did or didn't happen in some other game or some other season, or it is what it is.
Coach, regarding, you've talked this week about how much you respect the Colts special team field position in this game. And Andrew and Luck's ability to extend
plays,
how much does that?
Yeah, it's huge, and the Colts do a great job of it. They're one of the best kickoff teams in the league. Get a lot of touchbacks, so they cover well. They're a good kickoff return team, and I think they've gotten better with Cribbs. I mean, he's really good at that. McAfee can control the field position in the punting game, which he did in our game. They averaged over 50 yards net punt. And Cribbs can make plays in the return game too. So, and they have a great field goal kicker. Their specialists are good. Their special teams are good. They control field position. They make big plays. They cover well. They do a real good job. Be a big challenge for us.
Has Andrew Luck evolved since you saw him earlier in the year? Is he a different player than when you saw him before?
He's been good. He was good. He is good. He does everything well.
Hey, Bill, as a coach, when you prepare for a game like this, is there ever a time where you say, we're as prepared as we can be, it's up to the execution? Or are you always thinking, what more can we do? What did I miss? Where edge can I get?
I think you always get to that point at some point. So, I mean, at some point you get as far as you can go, and you want to get your team to that point, and then you let the game unfold. I mean, no matter how much preparation you do, it's still going to be different in the game,
And with that question,
it's like going back to Dwight Eisenhower's quote, preparation's everything until the battle starts, and then doesn't mean anything, then you're reacting to what happens in the game, or in his case, what happens in the battle. So it's, it's an important part of going into it, but really once you're in it, it has relevance, don't get me wrong, but it's, the game then becomes the game, and you got to deal with that. So, I think you can only prepare to a point, then once it starts, then it's going to change, to some degree. It's going to change.
With that question, Bill, you had 2 weeks for the Ravens, 1 week, obviously, for the Colts. How do you balance that rest versus readiness? Which do you prefer?
Well, first of all, we didn't know we were going to play the Ravens until a week before we played them. So we had a week to prepare for the Ravens, and that's what we did.
Bill, Chuck Pagano said they're not able to stop the run on Sunday. They're going to be in for a long, hard day. That was a good day for you guys rushing. We haven't seen as much of a commitment to the rush in the past couple of weeks. Do you go back to what worked again, and until they stop you, you just keep doing what you're doing?
We'll do what we think's best. Same thing we do every week, do what we think's best.
Bill, there are so many teams that would like to play in a conference championship game, and when you look at your success and now four straight appearances in this game, How do you explain the ability to sustain that success in a league where there's so much turnover on the rosters and you know everything that goes into sort of inhibiting that kind of sustained success? That how do you have it?
Well, as I've said many times before, the games that we've won here are the result of the players that we've had that have played well and made plays in order for us to win. So, but again, all that's in the past. I don't think any of it really means anything right now. It's a one-game season, and I hope that we can coach and play our best football game of the year Sunday night. That's really all we're focused on. That's our goal.
You talked about year one to year two jump with players before, and Matt Patricia talked about Logan Ryan a little bit earlier this week. I'm just wondering how you've seen him, I guess, make that year two jump, how he's progressed over the course of this season.
I think, more experience, better understanding of what we do, better understanding of our opponents and the players that they play against. I mean, it's a big jump, from college to the NFL, no matter what college or what level you played at. It's a big jump. The game's different, and the level of competition's different. So all of us had to make it at one point or another, and I think when you come into this league at whatever capacity you come into it at, you get your eyes you get shocked by a lot of things that take place at this level. They're just different than any other level you've been at or you've seen. And you somehow either manage to swim or sink. And you catch up to it, you figure it out, and you adjust to it, or you don't, and somebody else takes your spot. That's the nature of the competition in the National Football League, whether you're a player or a coach. It's a very competitive league. Get judged on our performance and the results. And if they're not very good, then you won't be around very long. So it's no secret. I've seen plenty of that this week.
You quoted Eisenhower. I'm curious just how much you enjoy the process of the preparation leading into the battle.
I enjoy it all. I enjoy it from the start of the season and February and the combine, the draft process, to the putting the roster together, to bringing players in who haven't been in the National Football League. It's a new process, bringing new players onto the team, working with them, working throughout the course of the year, preparation, game days, coaching some of the best players in the league, some great players, probably some of the best players that'll ever play in the league at their position, being able to do things with them that, 99.9% of the players that play that position couldn't do or will never be able to do, just as much as working with the guys who, don't know anything or in some cases can't do anything, but, they work to improve and rise above that. So I enjoy all of it.
You have twice as many players as they do who have been in this stage, one game from the Super Bowl and won. How much of a factor can that be on Sunday?
Zero.
Zero. Why is that?
I think it'll be the team that plays the best. I don't think it's about how many all pros or how many playoff games or anything. I don't think it has anything to do with it. I've been on plenty of teams that didn't have any experience and won. And we can go through the league and find just as many examples of that. So, zero.
Bill, Sunday night, the one-game season, the crowd, everything that goes into that game Sunday evening, is part of that fun? Do you allow yourself that moment?
Well, I mean, it's what you work all year for. Like this is what we've worked for since basically a year ago, this time last year. Myself and everybody who's part of the organization is the play in this game. So it's a great opportunity, but it's a great challenge. And we're playing the best team that we've played all year. We're going to have to play and coach our best football. But it's what you live for. It's what you want to do. It's where you want to be. It's a great challenge, but it's a great opportunity. So we're all looking forward to it. And we know we'll have to be at our best.
Bill, Thomas Gray played very well against the Colts week 11. What's changed since then?
I'd say not much. Jonas was injured in the Jets game, missed a couple weeks, but I'd say a lot's changed.
Thank you.
Are you nervous before big games like this, or you've done it so many times you're just used to it?
I think anybody who competes in any of these games has anxiety. I think it would be not normal if you didn't. I mean, I've never talked to anybody that hasn't had anxiousness about any game, for that matter, any competition. I mean, it's competition. I mean, certainly you'll have a, you know, you always have a level of confidence, but it's you know, competition brings anxiety. They go hand in hand.
Do you think the experience of having been down that before helps you manage it better, or your teammates versus?
I don't know. I don't know. Again, we've seen plenty of examples of, in all sports, at all levels, of people who have and haven't been in games, and we can find results on both sides of it. So I don't think really in the end that has anything to do with it. I think the team that performs the best on Sunday is the team that will win. I think all the rest of it's, you know, it's a bunch of hot air. Write whatever you want. I don't think it matters. It doesn't mean anything.
So when you have so much experience like you do in situations like this, how much of decision-making game day for you is instinctive, and how much is past experience teaches me this?
Well, every game's its own game. Every game's different, so I don't think any two games are the same. No two situations are the same. You have to do, I have to do what I think is the best decision for at that time in that game for that team that I'm coaching. And even though I might be wearing the same uniforms, it's not the same team. It changes every week, and our opponent changes every week, so it's never the same.
Coach has they're using more checkdowns now. Has that made Luck more able to put it in himself, do you think, or he seems to have gotten better?
I mean, I don't really think they've changed their offense. I think it's just comes down to decision making, and I think Luck does a good job of getting the ball to the open guy, does a good job of taking advantage of what the defense gives him. I mean, you got guys up and down the field, he's not throwing checkdowns, I'll tell you that right now. I mean, if anybody thinks that, I can't imagine what games they watch. I mean, he's not just throwing it to a checkdown guy because that's the primary receiver. He throws it because the rest of the pattern's covered. And if it's not covered, then that ball's going down the field to the receivers that are open. So that's what a quarterback's job is.
They have, you mentioned earlier this week that just the kind of the sheer number of weapons that they have in the passing game. It's pretty large. Is it? Mm-hmm. Are they a team that substitutes a lot during a drive from what you've seen?
I mean, they do it. Yeah, they do it. I mean, sometimes they leave guys out there, but there's a lot of substitution. They mix the personnel groups up. You know, they basically have, you know, they have four receivers. Any three of them could be out there really at any time. I mean, obviously there's a lot of Hilton, but, you know, the other guys, it could be Moncrief, Nix, Wayne. They move them around. They got three tight ends. They all play. And they play their backs. So I don't think you can count on, you can't really count on anything. You can't count on who's going to be out there. You can't count on who's not going to be out there. Sometimes they play at a tempo and play fast and keep the same guys out there. Most of the time they don't, but I don't think you can count on either one of those either. You know, you might get a, you know, no-huddle series or a no-huddle game where they're playing at a faster tempo, and, you know, you might not. But, I mean, that's the way it always is on defense. You can never control who they're going to put out there. All you can do is defend what they give you. So if you're on defense, if they want to play fast, they can play fast. If they want to play slow, they can play slow. If they want to put four tight ends out there, then there's four tight ends out there. You know, they want to put four receivers out there, and you got to defend four receivers. I mean, that's what playing defense is. You have to defend what they give you. You can't control it. Offensively, you control all those things. You control who's out there. You control who gets the ball or who doesn't get it. That's, you know, it's the reverse of, they're the reverse of each other.
Does it make it more of a challenge to play man-to-man defense against a team that substitutes or goes up tempo just because there's a lot of moving parts and there's probably some communication that has to happen?
I mean, there's, like, yeah, any team that changes a lot, there's going to be moving parts no matter what you do. I mean, unless you can just leave the same players out there throughout every personnel group they have, which, you know, I mean, you could, but then that creates some other problems. Then you got some matchup issues. So if you want to get matchups, then you substitute with them. If you don't care about the matchups or you're comfortable with the matchups or whatever, then you don't substitute and you play your guys out there. But, I mean, I think in this league it's pretty hard not to get mismatched somewhere along the line if you keep the same 11 players on the field all the time. I mean, I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying you got to deal with some matchups. Now, if you can live with those matchups or you can somehow neutralize them, then great. Then you can do that. If you can't, then somewhere along the line you're probably going to have to substitute and change the matchup. But, I mean, that's your choice defensively. You don't have to match up, but if you don't, then you have to deal with, you know, their receivers against your linebackers or their tight ends against your DBs or, you know, whatever it is.
In your career, Bill, you just talk about matchups. Were matchups big when you were first breaking in?
Well, no, because there was no same 11 guys stayed on the field in all situations. Be third and 20, and they might flex a tight end out, but basically had the same guys on the field, and you had the same defense on the field, same 11 guys. The nickel defense was originally, like George Allen brought in a safety for the Will linebacker. It was the same exact defense. They just had, you know, maybe a better, in their mind, better coverage player playing that position. There's no change in the defense, and there was rarely any offense. You know, balls on the 1 yard line, you still got two receivers out there. I mean, it was just, you know, regular offensive formations. You didn't have the goal line. Now, you know, the roster sizes were different. You didn't have all the specialization that you have now. You know, you had whatever, 10 less players. So, you know, you didn't have multiple tight ends. You didn't have, you know, all those extra guys. Those guys, you had a couple backups here and there, and then they played in a kicking game, and you had a long snapper, and you had a kicker and a punter that played somewhere else for the most part. I mean, that transitioned pretty quickly, but, you know. So, yeah, that was totally different. Now it's, you know, bigger roster size, more specialization, more matchups on one side of the ball, more matchups, therefore, on the other side of the ball. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, totally different.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, great. Thank you. See you Sunday.